Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather around the campfire.
Last time Ileo was in here, Bob, did you call in at all?
I think I was either in traffic or in
babies.
Bob was a little busy.
I was in labor.
But Eli and I geeked out for an entire hour about the Howard Stern show.
It was a geek fest.
And Caleb was here, too. So Caleb was feeling it a little bit.
Caleb also Caleb not Bacon. Just a very pale imitation of you in the in the co-host.
But I was actually embarrassed. I geeked out so badly.
Let me geek out to 1997. In 1997, when I was in my second sober job as a messenger in Los Angeles, it was the greatest gift from God that Howard Stern was on terrestrial radio.
Because you'd listen
to
it?
And I could listen to it all day long from when I, you know, for half of my day was going to be laughs with. And this is before Artie, I think, even. This was just Jackie.
That's when Eli was in there. Eli would be a guest then.
Yeah. Right?
No, actually, I didn't even start until 2011.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you went way
back. I was just a big fan in those days. That was right when I discovered it.
Were you a terrestrial radio? So let's go back.
Yeah.
I was at the Palace, which, whatever it's called now, it's called nine different things since then.
On Vine?
On Vine Street. I went there when he did I'm the King of All Media.
Oh, wow.
I was there. And I was on the clock messengering, too. I don't want to get in trouble. But you know, it was amazing. You know what I mean?
When was that?
It was in 98, I think.
And I don't even know. Is that some appearance that he did?
Yeah, he did when he proclaimed himself King of All Media.
Oh, okay. Wow.
When he had the movie, the book, blah, blah, and King of Radio.
That was actually even before I even
fanatic. And I've said, and I've listened off and on because I have XM, not because of him, but because of NBA radio. But I find the healthier he gets, the less funny he is.
Oh, wow. That says about you. That's not him. How dare you? Are we going to go down this path?
I just know all my millennial friends who are just now becoming Stern fans.
Yeah.
They will listen to like the stuff from 10 years ago and they'll be like, wow, this stuff is really, really
harsh.
Yeah, and like for instance,
the
Butterface contest where like, you know, judge women on a beauty contest who have ugly faces and good bodies.
Today.
And even at the time, that was like not something that really resonated with me. But it's just weird how everything's changed so quickly in culture. Like even I was watching Kindergarten Cop with my son, who's 8 last night. And there's some really like, that movie was from 2000, it was like 90.
There's some raunchy stuff in there.
It's really just like, it's the anti-gay stuff. Like that's just so accepted that like to make a casual anti-gay slur is so accepted. And nobody at the time even flinched.
And when you look at that though, when we all complain about the excessive PC, I kind of look at that and go, well, good.
I agree.
You know, I it is excessive, but we've done some good things. You know, it's just time to like the pendulum kind of swing back towards a little bit, so we're not up everyone's butt all the time. But I'm grateful for some of the progressive.
Yeah, I agree. I am too.
Yeah, and the transgender acceptance. I got transgender friends.
Let's hold on there. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking.
But they were, you know, they lived in sort of misery all the time.
Absolutely.
And whatever. Have this more accepting of people and the racial stuff.
It's getting
stuff.
Grayer and grayer. And weirder because I think some of my friends' children, 16, 17, are just trying to rebel and freak their parents out by saying they're transgender.
It's true.
Because it's happening a lot in my circle of friends.
It's the coolest
and I'm
status.
Like, whoa.
Right.
Whoa.
Well, I would just be like, if I was a parent, I would throw it on the gauntlet. Okay, get the change. I'll pay for it, bitch. You want the change? Want to chop it off?
Are we doing the Philippines or are we doing here?
I'll pay
for Philippines. I'm not paying for here.
What is scary about that?
You're getting a job at Wendy's if you're doing it here.
What's scary about that, though, is that we're not doing a good job of selecting who should get the full operation. That there's a Williams study, UCLA shows that the outcomes after surgery were sort of not so good. To me, it means we're not selecting people properly for the surgery. So that's still...
What does that mean, though? What do you mean by that?
Who needs the surgery and who just needs to live as a whatever?
Well, don't a lot of people who are transgender sort of live in that...
Yes.
In the sort of in-between for a long time while they decide?
Well, not even decide. They're just happy right there. That's fine.
Yeah.
And, but
you know that Chrissy wrote a book about Thailand, a travel guide about the boy, the geisha boys.
Lady
there,
boys.
Lady boys, right? They're not transgender.
No.
They're just... You know,
just perfect.
How does he know about it?
Well, I've been to Thailand many times.
Uh-oh.
Not for that.
Wow. Eli gets weirder and weirder the more I know.
How have you been to Thailand so many
times?
Well,
my ex-wife did a lot of, her company did a lot of business there.
And oh my God. So always, you know about these, I mean, I'm familiar with lady boys.
Well, like the rest of us, we don't know. What's the deal?
He can explain. I don't know that much about it.
Chrissy, I don't know much either, but it was just very, it's like
they're not transgender.
They're entertainers. They're not transgender, but they live as women, but not even as women. They live in a third category as lady boys. And they're much like geisha girls, kind of.
It's like geisha girls
in Thailand.
It's very lucrative, and
who
it's
do,
almost
who do
like
they have sex with
European pervs.
Anybody?
I think anyone who will sort of it's a prostitution
practice, right? And it's
they sing in nightclubs.
But I assume men.
It's not like stripping. It's not like stripping. They sing. They're amazing singers too. And you go, and it's like a concert, and they sing, and then they prostitute afterwards or something. Very peculiar. I'll get all the info about it and bring it back to you.
It's weird. I mean, I think we even have that here too. It's like men who are attracted to women, but they want a penis. Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that hasn't been. I'm sure in our grandkids,
but there's a pedophilism.
Will be like, there'll be acceptance of those people.
Or they'll
understand. There's a pedophile part of the lady boys, though.
Yes,
this is like the freakiest shit you could ever know.
So if it's pedophile to me,
they're like 20-year-old boys that look 14.
Right.
They dress as females.
Right. So that's
they live as females.
But
to me, the perps, which is what they are, the guys that use these
Europeans,
guys,
not Americans.
Yeah, are probably sexual
Gary
trauma.
Glitter and the rest it's of those Europeans.
Oh, Gary Glitter. So much Gary Glitter.
Probably sexual trauma survivors, right?
The guys going there, yeah.
Yeah. So just saying. What are we here to talk about today? I heard there's a topic.
Well, Susan, our producer, we had discussed talking politics.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you can't help it.
You can't help it in this day
and
age.
I'm getting attacked like crazy, and I know, Drew, you're going through it. Like, I'm scared of what I'm going to say now. Because people are going to attack me.
Yes, you should.
Because of your...
Me too, stop.
Are we going to do this or not? Listen, I'm voting for the only person... If I vote, I'm voting for the only person who has made any sense to me since Kasich left the campaign.
Donald J. Trump.
No, Gary Johnson. He's the only person that made any sense. He did something I've never seen a politician do. He's a pothead.
Admit he smokes pot.
He's a pothead. No, well, so does Obama. Come on. But no, he said, maybe I'm wrong about the legalization of drugs. I've never heard a politician ever say, in my lifetime, I have an opinion, I have a belief, I have a policy I would enact about this.
So he's not going to legalize it?
No, he's decriminalize it. That's what they're thinking.
But is he looking at Colorado and saying maybe that's not
good? He's saying, yeah, he was backing away from the libertarian platform a little bit, and he said maybe I'm wrong, and we'll address that.
Well, I like the pragmatic approach. That's for sure. We'll look at
pragmatic. So if I do vote, I'm voting for him. But I want to say this: I've always voted in California. I live in California. This is a Democratic state. Right. It always has been, always will be. The only time Republicans get not elected here is because we have enough common sense as Democrats to say, you know what? I like him, and he's a Republican, and he's all right.
And if you're an actor, too, that helps if you're a Republican.
Or a bodybuilder.
We will elect an actor if he's a Republican.
Listen,
repeatedly.
I think Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger was the same thing as what's going on now, which is anything's better than this.
Right?
Yeah, get the Terminator in there. Yeah. Anything's better than this.
Than Jerry?
Anything's better than what was going on with Gray.
Oh, the economy. That's what brought that in.
Listen, your attacks on Brown. We were in a deficit. We were in a surplus. We are attracting new business to California, not as much as I would like to. SpaceX is here. We've fucked up by having Tesla go to Nevada, but California is the place I vote, and so I don't really worry about my vote counting.
Right.
In
so
a
you're
national
making,
election.
Making a protest vote.
Yeah.
Honestly, my feeling about it is I think California and New York. Why don't they just let us elect the president? We drive this economy.
I got to tell you because that's
so unfair.
But there are two things that unfair.
It's not fair that Delaware, that New Hampshire has the same say in the Senate as California and New York. I mean, we are the drivers of this economy. These voters down south are like, we're voting for Trump because we're sick of the federal government meddling in our business. Meanwhile,
half of them are on welfare.
All their money is coming from us who are electing a liberal, who continually elect liberals. I mean, it's so silly. Let them secede again. Secede.
There's two solutions. California.
Drew is shaking his head.
No, but here's what
Southern listeners.
Here's what I did after 9/11 because I was I was I I was following bin Laden before 9/11. I just knew.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
Didn't start till 2008. Bust it, Bob.
But you understand what I'm saying. I read that book about bin Laden, and I was fascinated by him. And then when that happened, I knew it was him that day. And so to me, this was going to wake up America to what's going on in the world. It didn't. It just created nationalism and what happened, right? So around 2004, when the war was really going, I just said, you know what? I live in Los Angeles. I live amongst people that are pretty much like-minded like me. I care about the kids in my community. I care about my schools. I care about my mayor.
Right.
I care about what goes on in my community and in a bigger way, my state and the Western United States. I started to become very community-based.
Rather than national, right? I don't have any say about it.
I've come to the same conclusion. I was thinking to myself, what does the federal government really do for me?
Nothing.
Defense, I guess. But I look out my window. Got police, firemen, trash.
Roads.
Those are the people I want to support.
Drew, what he's saying, not only do Californians pay for all of our roads and all of our police, we pay for half of the South's roads and their stuff.
Their infrastructure. I worked for
Garcetti, right? In a city council campaign that no one thought he could win because dad had a tarnished reputation a little bit. And we went door to door.
Oh, did he? I didn't know about that.
I
didn't know that, but I got to tell you, I saw him speak last year at a job I had. He came and spoke at the company. I was like, I knew nothing about him. I mean, I barely even knew what the mayor's name was. He was one of the most compelling politicians that I'd ever seen.
He's a good guy.
I think he might be president one day.
He's a solid guy, but let me tell you the story of his political world. Okay.
Sway me not to like him.
So he was going against... You know, he comes from second generation politician. His dad was Gil Garcetti, the DA, and he was kind of disgraced and kind of fucked up. I think the OJ trial, right?
I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. It was the OJ trial. That's right.
So Eric's going to go anyways, and he's in Silver Lake against Jackie Goldberg and her power system that is very similar to a presidential power system, and she had declared that she wanted her brother to be the Silver Lake the first district representative. Yeah, and so friends of mine were involved with Eric, and the idea was AA people never fucking vote. And there's huge AA population.
Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay. So there's a huge population of Alcoholics Anonymous people in Silver Lake Echo Park in Eric's district. And if they voted, he would win because the margin of victory
smart.
Is so small.
Very right. smart.
And so we did benefit concerts for him. We did door to door with him. He was so great. He was the first person I ever knew that had an electric car. He said, "You want to drive it?" And I was like, "I don't know."
Yeah,
he said that to you. He's so kind. Yeah, we were walking door to door.
I'm thinking you might be the VP pick when he is the nominee.
I'm voting for that. But
so he move on, and he kind of, the idea that I said to him is there's 400 county beds for drug and alcohol detox. Something needs to be done about that if you ever.
Because that's not enough.
There needs to be about 40,000.
Yeah,
40,000.
Yeah,
so we're only missing it by that much.
would futons do?
So... He's been sensitive to that area, but not as much as I would like. But now that he's mayor, I see him. I just saw him at an event, and we got to
kind of get his attention into the drug and alcohol piece of the homeless.
I think everybody's paying attention to it now. Michelle Obama spoke at the NIDA convention.
Does he have kids, Garcetti?
Yeah,
get one of them hooked on drugs. I mean, seriously, that's what I'm talking about.
Bob, you handle that. But here's the deal. You mentioned California and New York determining who should be the president, and that kind of I know you're kidding, but that kind
oh,
of
am I?
Kind of. But that kind of the two words that come out of my mouth every day that are troubling to me is how much I hate bureaucracy and I hate hubris. And I think it's hubristic of us Californians to say that we know there's a lot of people in the middle of the country. I understand
but they're the beneficiaries of our
economies.
Of our good decisions.
But that's because the way the federal government is taking our money. You understand? And so I don't know if that's fair or not. But the fact is, this was supposed to be about the people. And if the people make the decisions they make, we got to honor it. I mean, really, like, feel okay about it because it is about the people. Right, even though we have all these biases about being on this coast and thinking we know better,
I think that's a problem.
I think we should not be that hubristic. I really don't. The genius of what we
have
here.
Should we have to pay for seven other states?
The genius of what we have here is our system. That's what we
no,
have.
No, I agree.
That's what we have. Even though it seems a little weird with Delaware.
No, and the beauty of it is that, I mean, I've always leaned liberal, and I'm definitely becoming more of like I'm a Democrat the older I get. As a liberal, though, I've seen, I mean, in the past, what are we talking, going back to 1992, a Republican has only won the popular vote for president one time since 1992. That kind of gives, I mean, even if we do have like a lot of people in smaller states who are, I mean, we're the progressive movement is doing well. And
yes.
And the Democrats are becoming more progressive.
Yeah, but typically, though, that's a pendulum that swings, right?
Sure.
And things, when there's a movement the other direction, it goes pretty far the other direction, sure, too, oftentimes. Thus.
Well, that happened in the 60s, and, you know,
yeah,
not that I was there.
Well, I know that there's a big respect for the Reagan Revolution, but I don't think it swung it that far conservative. I think it had already swung so far left that Reagan conservatism would have been to my dad, who was a blue-collar Democrat, just basic Democrat.
Right.
That's true.
Right?
Which Reagan was. Reagan was a labor leader.
So things don't always swing all the way back to the other
side.
They
never do. No, they never swing all the way back. It's just
Reagan,
a back and forth.
What the Reagan's team did, and I've actually been studying this recently, this started earlier, was they were basically like, how do we sell this bill of goods where this economic model that mainly benefits the upper tier, the economic elites, the rich people, how do we sell this to enough of the population, 40 to 50%, to where we can actually win elections? So, like, basically, let's go after religious people. Let's appeal to patriotism. They basically, like, took this
Lee Atwater
very
did.
Conservative economic message and welded it to, we're pro-life, we're pro-God, we're pro-America. And in a turbulent time in American history where there was a lot of, you know,
job
a lot of people
loss,
felt
job
like
loss, very job, much and, like
and,
now.
And like these the races coming up.
But listen, the '70s were so much worse than now. It's I was there. No,
disco, man. I mean, I like disco.
Doesn't that tell it all? But it was
systems were broken in New York and Los Angeles in mm-hmm. the '70s.
Just go look.
People
at,
forget.
Absolutely.
People
look
forget.
At the pictures.
Even
of
your
New
trash
York
didn't get picked up.
No, yeah. It was
the smog here. I mean, you can see pictures.
This we were really in trouble in the '70s, and it was a psychological and pervasive problem.
Interpersonally, we were great.
No, we were not.
We were very in touch with our emotions, though.
We were in touch with each
other.
We
were having so much, so many orgies.
We got to take a little break on that, and I'll be right back.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation in the This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest podcast or interaction with drdrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or medical advice or direction per se. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Although Dr. Drew is a licensed physician with specialty board certifications by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Addiction Medicine, he is not functioning as a physician in this environment. The same applies to any professionals who may appear on the sites or podcasts.
Hey, buddy, we are back. I want to remind everyone about our friends at Bergamet, Bergamet Mega Plus. You can find out more about them or get, if you buy one bottle, get two. You get one for free. At bergamet.com. I take Bergamet every day. It is a extract of the bergamot citrus fruit. It's a natural statin, so-called, which lowers cholesterol and also helps with fatty liver and reduce insulin resistance. It helps with the condition that I have, many do, metabolic syndrome. Yeah. And it's good times. So it's something you got to attend to or else. Weight loss, obviously. But, of course, talk to your physician before you do anything. I'm an advocate. I've recommended it to patients. I've taken it myself, and I'm persuaded by reading the literature that the research that's been done, that this is something that is certainly not harmful and has real potential to do good.
So let's go back to this community thing. So I like what happened to I and my friends. We felt powerless and impotent to even influence the national dialogue about war.
And what is, even if you
war.
Could, what does it do for you? Right. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe less people would die in a war that wasn't a good idea. So we went to more LA-based stuff, started music school, started after kids school programs, started getting involved with a thing called No Kid Hungry, where children in different disimpoverished parts of Los Angeles get breakfast in the classroom. It's amazing feeling when you do shit like that.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. Instead of all these people across the United States feeling powerless and they hate Trump or they hate Clinton or they hate this or they hate that, fucking do something for your neighborhoods, people.
Right. And what's so amazing, like the people who are like, it seems like the people who are the most like anti-immigrant are the people who live with the fewest immigrants. It's like people from predominantly white areas that are, you know, it's like, why are you so racist? You don't even have to, you know, I'm like in LA, like you live, you confront every race every day, you know? And it's like,
we have so many parts of Los Angeles that even I didn't know. There's a Fuji town, part of, like,
where all
part
the Fugees live. Yeah, all three of them live there, yeah.
There's every Thai.
Fiji?
There's Thai town. Fiji, yeah. There's Thai town. There's a little...
There's little Ethiopia.
Little Ethiopia, that block of
Fairfax.
The best restaurants.
Like Cantor's, yeah. Strangely. Strangely.
So we... Yeah, it's true. And where the racism is in Orange County, where it's all white people, and it's very strange.
Oh, white people in Orange County? Are you kidding? It's all Hispanic.
Well, yeah, it's not Orange County, but
I'm talking about the Orange County states. Where in Irvine... Newport Beach, Laguna, where I live, there's no people of color.
If you say just white people, you must be down with white and Asian people then. Irvine.
Irvine is a lot of Asian people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's more mixed than you realize.
I live in two traditionally racist environments. I live in Claremont and Laguna Beach.
Oh yeah, so, there you go. You're in.
You don't see a lot of people of color in either one of those towns.
Is that where you grew up?
No, I grew up in Palm Springs and in Los Angeles, back and forth. And
That's where I grew up.
I grew up in Catholic school where all nationalities were. In 1960s, during, you know, great upheaval,
right.
My best friend was black that was in my Catholic school, Michael Johnson, and there
Gary's
was no
son,
problem in
Gary's
that.
Father.
There was no problem in that world when it was based, when religion was separate from politics, the world was a better place.
Yeah.
Right,
that was the intent of our Constitution, wasn't
right,
it?
Right, absolutely. And I believe they might have put a line in there about it,
or two.
I mean, what was strange is here's this upper middle class white kid going to school with black, Hispanic, Asian people from all different economic backgrounds going to Catholic school in Inglewood.
Right. Oh wow, Inglewood. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that
dressing the
that,
same.
That doesn't exist anymore.
Did
now
you ever
all,
hook up with another race? That's the in high school.
I lived with somebody of another race for quite a while.
Okay.
Drew and Susan of Matter. Why would you bring that up?
Because I think that's the real, that's really proves you're not a racist. Are you willing to hook up with someone?
That's not true.
No, that's not true at all. This thing's ridiculous.
But it does show you have an open mind.
Absolutely. Or you're really horny.
Where are we going with the no, not this conversation, but with racism in this country? I mean, I don't understand where we're going.
Could I be crazy, Bob, for a second?
Please.
I think a lot of the racism that you're seeing is that that part of the population we're talking about in Texas, Alabama, that just
by
cannot,
the way, it's always makes me uncomfortable when two or three white guys start talking about racism.
Three white guys with glasses.
This has nothing to do with me, and I just think that it has something to do with their inability to accept an African American president. And once Obama leaves office, I think some of it might subside. It's just a theory, and
it's also kicking and screaming. It's also like, as you know, I lived in South Carolina for a couple years when I was a kid. So randomly, my family moved there, and I sort of had this weird Southern experience. And racism is so, I mean, there was white people and black people where I lived, but racism was so like
it's there.
Built into it. Like even I had a black teacher, and like she was oddly subservient to the white students. Like I have a distinct memory of that as a child. And I think that as we have, like you said, a black president, that how it is becoming, you know, black people. I mean, I know this sounds weird, but I think black people's dominance of pop culture has something to do with it. Like black people kind of dominate sports and music, and
look
it's
at
like,
the Olympics.
I think
Did you
it kind
see
of
the
drags.
Olympics?
It kind of drags these people. Like they see their kids getting into like sort of their kids' role models are black, and I think for these people with that sort of latent racism that might not so easily come out, it brings it out of them.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought to myself, you know what might confirm your theory, Bob, is when a woman president, should she get in, gets a similar sort of weird backlash.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And
a sexism backlash comes in. That will be interesting. Then it's like, oh, that's it. There you go.
Speaking I think of, it's already set in place right now, basically. It's already happening.
Yeah.
So you'll see, you know, I'm pretty aware of the Electoral College. And unless you learn Florida and Pennsylvania, you're not going to win the presidency.
Right.
So,
right.
So
why
those
Pennsylvania?
Are the two...
I never understood why Pennsylvania.
Because
the Steelers rule.
They do.
Yeah. It's a densely populated area, which you don't think about. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
Right. Yeah. And it's one that goes either way.
So it gets a lot of electoral votes.
It goes either way, too.
And it goes either way because it's real rural. It's fluid. And you know, you drive 60 miles out of Philadelphia, you're in fucking down.
Well, hey, that's even true here.
Let's just talk about it in a general way for a second. You ever seen a nastier population over an election than this one? I never have.
You know, 68.
I remember 68 McGovern. I remember
that. Yeah,
that
was getting there.
I was seven years old, and my sisters were all probably 20 and liberal, and my dad was like Archie Bunker. And
we
like,
sort of unraveled.
Vote for the goddamn... And then he blamed McGovern for what happened in Chicago. I don't know how it was McGovern's fault.
But we sort of unraveled.
Just an easy scapegoat.
Like he should have been out there in the street getting those fucking hippies out of there. Right?
Absolutely.
That was the attitude towards McGovern. That from my dad was a, you know, conservative Democrat. McGovern's the reason why that fucking hippie shit went on.
The Bernie thing reminds me of McGovern. Right?
Does okay, that's that? True. Yeah.
It reminds me of McGovern.
But he was the presidential nominee, you forget.
McGovern?
Don't forget. Yeah.
No, he was a candidate, just like...
Yeah, but he got the nomination for the Democrats.
He did?
Yes.
That year?
Yes.
Well, then, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of... it must have been... There was a guy named...
Because Johnson...
McGovern sounds kind of like if McDonald's sort of governed. Like, it's like... let's just have a McGovernment, right? I don't know.
Muskie. Hey, Muskie.
I'll be here all week.
And Muskie, and there was
and Humphrey.
Another guy.
Humphrey.
No, Muskie, and there was another guy... Who had a name? Who's the guy that did the communist craziness?
What's his name?
McCarthy.
McCarthy. There was a McCarthy in the race too. Who was super
Eugene McCarthy?
Yeah, Eugene.
Eugene McCarthy. He was a liberal. He was a liberal.
And so there were several guys.
And if you recall, the guy that was McGovern's vice presidential choice had a nervous breakdown and was in a psychiatric hospital. Do you remember that?
Well, A lot of people are saying that this was supposed to be, especially the conventions, because the 68 conventions, but for the RIP conventions this year, they kept any protesters so far away from the venues that nothing was able to happen. I mean, which was a smart move on the part of the parties.
The guy's name was Eagleton, and issue was not his hospitalization, that he had electric shock therapy.
Right? Oh, really?
And that's what got everybody all...
Hey, Lou Reed had that, and the Velvet Underground records are great.
Look at that. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah,
DCT can work.
So I think that there's just so much mean-spiritedness, or maybe it's just social media makes mean-spiritedness so easy to access.
My biggest concern is in 68, we unraveled as a country, and the 70s was the outcome, and it was not good.
But was that because of the... Don't you think politics is often just a reflection of the culture
what already
of the whole?
Happening?
I mean, you know, to bring it back to Howard Stern, I was listening back to the episode where their Daniel Carver, who was like the KKK, like this KKK president who they used to have call
Wake
in all the time.
White people.
Wake up, white people. They called him the day after Obama got elected, and they were like, what do you think? And he was like, well... It sucks to have an N-word in the White House, but we're just going to go about doing our thing, and that's not going to affect us.
Going to feed the children,
really
community-based stuff.
Yeah, they want community-based. They developed their racism. They kept it small. It's like, you know, local
I'm
racism.
I'm telling you.
I felt, I mean, you're just saying that whoever's in office doesn't make much difference.
It doesn't really make a huge, I mean, like, I often think, like, if you didn't
Gore,
know who was
I
the
think,
president, would you be able to tell if
yes,
there's a Republican
well, look
or a Democrat
at,
in
I know
office?
Gore wouldn't have gone into Iraq.
Exactly.
For
exactly.
sure.
And that's the biggest
And most of
reason
my friends
vote
voted
Democrat.
Let me tell you, most of my friends, and I know the feeling that's coming at me about this election. I had it about that election in 2000.
You mean the feeling coming at you because you're
negative
talking
because
about,
I'm
well, you're voting in California, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get it.
They're both the same. Right. But all my friends voted for Ralph Nader and some campaigned for him. Mm-hmm. And I was angry. So I understand anger, but I didn't attack them. I was just trying to convince them and coerce them and manipulate them. Mm-hmm. I wasn't calling them scumbags and idiots.
Well, so, Bob,
and,
describe what happened to you on Facebook.
I just said that I don't think there's much difference. I really was talking about millennials because I deal with millennials all the time. I got 20 of them in Temecula. I got 20 of them in Malibu. I got three of them living in my house. I talk to them every day, unlike most elite liberals in Los Angeles. I deal with 20 and 22 and 24-year-olds every fucking day, and they don't care, and they're not going to vote.
Mm-hmm. But they and cared about Bernie. They liked
they
Bernie.
They loved Bernie.
But they loved, and the, once they loved lost the vibe more than anything. Right. They loved being a part of something.
As when I was that age, though,
they loved. Here's what they loved. They loved the inclusive language.
Yeah.
There's exclusive language. There's violent language being used by Donald Trump, right, for sure, and sometimes Hillary, in that this is about us, but it's really about me and my party and my thing, and young people feel left out of that, and they know that they're
left out
of that.
But also, when you're that age, you don't have anything invested in the system, and you don't have the you don't understand the stakes of things when you're that age. Not to be condescending.
Yeah.
When I was the first person I ever voted for was Ross Perot. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, hey, this will screw with things. Yeah. And then I voted in the next election. I voted for the Libertarian candidate. I don't even know who it was, but I just know I was like, I'm not going to vote.
Guess
for
who I voted for
candidate.
My first time in 1980? Gus Hall and Angela Davis.
Oh wow! What was that? The Green Party?
No, that was the Communist Party.
Oh, the Communist Party. Wow,
dude.
That's why I got investigated later for wanting to kill President Bush the first.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, yeah, wow. Yeah.
Why?
Well, they looked at my record once they got the reports of what I was saying. And apparently they have your voting registration stuff in that Secret Service Department. I don't know. But I was I had never gotten out of the Communist Party. I just did it because there was hot girls in college that were in that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So funny.
Oh, it all comes back. It all comes down to that.
I told the Secret Service thing I got in the interview when I was so scared. I go, literally, I don't know that I'm in the Communist Party anymore. I don't know.
Right.
That was like 12 years ago. But I only got into it because there was hot girls.
Right.
Bob, speaking of behaving like a millennial, being a millennial, and dealing with millennials, so we're doing a quick, I took a read from some, we're trying to get to the emails we never seem to do, so we'll keep trying. This is a woman from, it's Chris. Daughter's 22, living on her own, attending college, but now she's in limbo, saying she's not sure she wants to do with her life. She's telling us she's having a lot of anxiety about things, not able to concentrate on tasks, focusing on what needs to be done. Sounds like a millennial.
Hashtag classic millennial.
Classic millennial, yeah. My wife and I have been married. Oh, it's a male. Have been married for 22 years, never fought in front of her. We have a huge family life here in Maine and Alabama. Should we get her in to see a therapist? Yes.
Talk therapy.
One of my biggest concerns is her being told she needs to be on meds. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Well, you don't have to be on meds.
Meds as a second or third idea.
If you,
talking,
if you have time
first
to respond,
idea.
We'd be grateful. I know this is a little information, a big question. I'll provide it. Thank you for having your followers, because I know here's the harder question, frankly. The medications is if she is not functioning or she's dangerously depressed. That's really what medicines are for. So if she has a medical problem, meaning a brain chemical issue, that she is suicidal, she can't function, I would want that person on medication, at least for a short period of time. But if she's just...
There's all too much medication for anxiety. What you're describing,
yeah.
That's a kid who needs a mentor. That's a kid who needs talk therapy. They all do, almost.
Yes.
Because what's happening is they're going away to college, and the world is not responding the way it always has.
That's
back
right.
home.
That's
and they
right.
can't fucking handle it.
That's right. Very much
and,
true.
And we need to prepare them better. Mm-hmm. You know what
and,
I mean?
And they need to
that's
find...
probably maybe just the caveat that we need to do at 15, 16, 17. Like, hey, you know, we care, and your mom and I love you and everything, but the world, not so much.
That
yeah.
And
yeah.
I think they
so
thought
true.
They were going to leap into the career of their dreams or something rather than
well, this is
have
the
to
lie,
find their way.
And
you
let
know?
Me say, this is the lie of Bernie's world, which is the yeah. world cares so much yeah. it's going to do everything for you.
No.
That's ridiculous.
The world doesn't give a shit.
But so that's why it clicked with them so much, because they want the world to be like their parents and their school and their neighborhood and their play dates. And
oh, that's
they,
interesting. They that's want a, Bob, that
to
is
be
an interesting
like that.
Insight. That's very interesting.
I totally
like
agree.
That.
I totally yeah. agree. And, you know, parents can only do so much because parents have such unconditional love. It's like, you know, that's that cliche, it takes a village. Like, you need... A community. You need a community of mentors. Your parents can't do it alone because your parents have way
you
too much.
You sound like a fucking rest. Hillary Clinton follower.
I am. Well, we can get into that, but I'm a huge Hillary fan. So.
Good for yeah, you. That's good. Right. I mean, so I can understand that.
That's what AA is. Yeah. Let me tell you something.
I worry about
when
the bigness of her
When she
power.
Mentioned that, all I thought about was AA. That's what AA is. I met a bunch of old people in AA. Buddy Arnold, Gloria Scott, Donald Madden. They fucking mentored me. That community taught me how to be a man, mm-hmm. not my parents.
I would argue the whole phenomenon of apprenticeship needs to be brought back.
Amen.
Yeah, because we have so much focus on school and this and that. The apprenticeship on many levels, apprentice in your social life. And
that's what Donald J. Trump tapped into with his great show, of course.
I'm not sure he's advocating that any longer. But
you know who's replaced him? Arnold
Schwarzenegger.
Did you know that?
No.
On
oh,
The Apprentice.
Yeah, the show. Yeah, yeah.
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 My, how the mighty have fallen.
I thought you meant in terms of advocating.
No, I think it's great. One goes on to politics. One comes back from politics.
I love Arnold's just ability to survive. He's like a cockroach. I'm actually a fan of him. I like him.
I really want to interview him so badly. He's my dream interview.
That'd be great.
Yeah. But I want to get back to this request this father just asked. Well, the harder question is of what kind of therapist and how do you find a therapist. That's hard. That's difficult. There's my
far
humble
too
opinion,
many licensed marriage and family therapists. And I don't think that's what these kids need.
Well,
I think they need cognitive behavioral therapy.
Well, I'm not sure that's true.
They need somebody to tell them how the world works.
But it's also what happens if you find a therapist and it's just not the right person for you, and it's in the
therapist. You gotta move on.
You gotta move on.
And I think that's a big thing, because I know that, like, when I was having in my marriage, like, I was very anti-therapy at that point, and we went to a marriage counselor, and he was not good for us, and that just kind of confirmed my suspicions at the time. Like, well, this isn't good. And then subsequently, I'm like, wow, there's actually great therapists.
Very hard to find a couple's therapists. Those are really hard to come by.
Yeah,
but individual therapists are hard too. And yes, some of them need cognitive behavioral therapy, but I feel like they more need, like, straight out plain old supportive psychotherapy with some cognitive elements. You know, depending on what the kids.
Here's what I would ideally say for his daughter.
Yeah.
She needs to go to therapy. She needs to form attachments. It's going to take a few weeks, a few months.
But that's the supportive
psychotherapy
part. And then
when she does, that therapist needs to say, "So you're anxious."
Yeah. So what? Yeah.
So what?
Well, you're just saying.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that might be the first time anybody hasn't responded to you. Like, oh, we got to get you some medicine.
It's okay. Everybody's anxious. This is life.
Are you fucking kidding me? This is life. Yeah. I'm a little anxious.
Yeah.
First is coming. I got a couple of rents.
Yeah.
and a new baby.
Baby bills and all kinds of things. Jeez. You got alimony still?
No. We're very cool. It's all taken care of.
All taken care of?
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't even go to a, we had no lawyers. It was all just
split everything down the middle. And
basically, and we just had, we'd originally hired a mediator. Mediator. And then we ended up, we didn't like her.
I didn't like him
ourselves.
Either. We went to the same thing.
We'll do it ourselves.
Like,
why pay her, you know?
Guy.
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to say, you mentioned the Chili Peppers, and I know you're.
Yeah.
Their new album is so good.
Yeah, it's sad.
So good.
It's really sad.
It is sad.
What's so sad about it?
It's
melancholy.
When I get a Chili Peppers record, I have to have time to listen to it by myself for a couple of times through and read the lyrics. And I'm telling you, this is one of the saddest albums. It sounds happy.
What's going on with them?
It's about, Anthony's dad is very sick.
Yeah.
He's been alone a long time.
Anthony.
No relationship and stuff like that. So a lot of the songs are really about being our age, or my, he and I are the same age.
Yeah.
And, like, thinking about life, like, where did I go wrong? What the fuck? I'm so good at some of these areas, but I'm so bad at some of these
other areas.
And
the older you get,
the
more of those areas start to make, like, wow, I'm a huge rock star, and I got everything I need, all my needs met, but, geez, I mean, what happened with the other side? I mean, I can imagine that.
And our parents are aging, and we're watching that for the generation before
die. Bob.
Right?
Yes, of course.
Right.
Well, that's not in most rock music, Drew. No.
We've all discussed your recent loss and stuff, your sister, mom, and everything. We've been through all that. But I'm telling you, guys like that are feeling that way, I bet have a lot to offer the millennials. We need to deploy them to start talking to the younger kids about.
If Anthony starts talking to them, though, he's just going to start fucking them.
Well, there's that.
That's true. But I mean, where the things have gone off the rail, and that they could avoid that, and and these kids probably are able to access meaning in a way that
he got involved in politics for the first time in his life back in Bernie. Mm-hmm. He was very big on Bernie, and the Chili Peppers did several shows for Bernie, and he wouldn't even accept that the donation from them paying for the hall that they played the concert
because
it had to come from his
because he'd already bought his third house. He has three houses.
Yeah,
he had a clean campaign, Drew. It doesn't matter what he does personally.
Jesus.
Okay, Bernie's a fine guy, but let's talk about the realities of politics. Let's talk about the fact that it's going to be either Trump or Hillary, and we have to make a choice. I mean, you can make
Gary
a protest
Johnson,
choice.
Gary Johnson, what are you talking about?
He's not going to get it.
Feel free to vote for him. It doesn't matter. You live in California. Here's my case.
Have you got friends in Florida? You need to go down there and convince them.
I don't have any friends in Florida.
My question is, what would life be like under either one of them? I'm trying to figure that out.
I think life under Hillary Clinton is going to be people are like, I'm sick of politics the way it is, and I use the Southern accent. I think a lot of people feel that way. I just feel like people expect too much
from
out
her.
Use my dad's politicians.
Hey, when you're saying racist or those types of things, don't use a Southern accent. Use my dad's. God damn it, this fucking. Use my dad's voice.
Like L.A. Okay, yeah. Just more angry.
Goddamn
right?
Fucking liberals.
I just feel like people malign Hillary so much, and I mean, I understand there's issues with the Clintons. I understand they're flawed human beings. We're all, but it's not just them. It's politicians in general. People expect so much of politicians. I understand the millennials' fascination with Bernie, and I understand their love of him, but it's just like, look at it objectively. He moved from Brooklyn, where he could never win. He moved to a state. He specifically moved to a state where he knew he could win running as a socialist. I'm not dissing him. I love him. He's great. I'm just saying he's a politician too.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all politicians. They don't have to be superheroes.
Let's look at another side of it. A lot of the Trump supporters are millennials too. I hate to tell
are
you.
Are they?
No. They're just the other side of the coin,
Bob, 30% of Bernie's are Bernie's supporters. Something like 30% are going to say they're going to go over
I don't
Trump.
Believe that.
No way.
I've talked to them. And I came.
When did you talk to them, though?
There was a lot of active involved. They were going all the protests and all the Bernie things that are in my sober living. They just say they're not.
Well,
voting here,
but
now.
Here's what they
I would say: a majority of Bernie millennials are not going to vote.
I talked to enough of them where I was literally like, "How could you? How can you?
What were
do
the circumstances
that?
Of that you talked to them? Like, what was the? What was it?
Friends of kids I've known for a long time,
and they want to fuck the system.
Yes,
is that their thing?
That's generally that's it. It's
Trump
just
is fucking.
They want to stir things up. They want to break things down.
But that's why his taxes are so important. He owes, I'm convinced, the Russians hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm convinced of it. There's no reason. At first I thought he doesn't want to show how he's not as rich as he says he is.
No, what you're going
to
see
But I
is,
think maybe he is as rich as he says he is.
Bob,
he doesn't want to show that his debt is to Russia, not China,
what
like
you're
most
gonna see,
billionaires.
No. What you're going to see
even
is...
Even China, though, still.
What you're going to see is how developers and real estate people manipulate tax law.
Right.
They all do.
Well, he'll never release them.
And they do profoundly. And
Anonymous is going to release them, I heard.
Bob.
That would be great.
Bob. It will piss you off so much
that he pays like 5%
when you here's the deal: it's legal, it's legitimate the way our tax law is. People in the real estate business, people in commercial, it's stunning. I was talking to a woman that's a commercial realtor, and I go, "What? I can't believe." She goes, "It's very beneficial to be in our business.
Yeah,
it has great tax benefits." I think this is unethical.
Has that always been that way, or is
I don't know. It's the system obviously serves somebody. I got some laws through obviously it serves that population. In the meantime, the rest of us are eating shit
in commercial. Not in home.
It's in development in a commercial.
Because I know in home sales, if you don't spend the profits of your home sale in that year, you're going to get taxed away.
Yeah, that's
rate.
A different thing. That's individual sales. These are people who are in the business.
And it's very speculative.
So once again, the little guy.
Yes, and usually, on average, they go bankrupt twice. Mm-hmm. On average, which he's right in the average.
Or is he done
three times?
At least three times.
Yeah,
he's a little
above the mean.
but I don't think he's as racist as he presents.
He's pretending to be racist.
I think he pretends to be racist.
Really?
Yeah, I think he pretends.
Really? I think he's actively courting a certain people that he knew could fuel him. Here's how, because
I'm an AA, and people in AA say they're the greatest people on earth, and they talk about themselves almost in the third person of how great and of service they are.
Do they?
So you have to decipher out who's telling the truth, and always look at their relationship with their children.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you can tell a man.
Right.
So the fact is, Chelsea Clinton and Ivanka. Are amazing kids.
That's really true.
I don't know about Eric. I think Eric's.
Oh no, that's that guy. Fuck that guy.
I totally agree with you on the spectrum.
I don't know what I think of those two.
But listen,
both their kids are good.
What you know by that, Bob, is that neither Hillary nor Trump are malignant narcissists. They're just standard narcissists. They're just political. All politicians are. But they're not malignant narcissists. And that's really what you got to be afraid of, is a malignant narcissist.
And what would be an example of a malignant narcissist?
Somebody who everyone's running away from.
Can you name one, like in history?
A malignant narcissist? Well, Nixon.
Pretty much Nixon. Yeah. But let's
time?
Let's think of somebody that's sort of a public figure that was a malignant narcissist to be funnier.
The guy who hiked the AIDS drugs Price up, Martin.
Oh, well, that guy's a sociopath. Okay. that's gone. Yes, that's yeah. belong. That, okay. Yes, that's where it can go.
Okay, yeah,
and that's why it's scary when people, you know, bring that up as a possibility that right. it can go really bad with Malik Nurse.
I was surprised Trump didn't pick that guy as his running mate.
Here's the thing I want to know: Bernie must have kids. Where were they? I never saw them.
Bad sign, right?
Bad sign.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I never saw them once. Yeah. That's how I was hippie wife.
I don't want to bash Bernie.
We're not burning, well, I'm not bashing.
I'm just saying how I judge whether somebody's a sociopath or not. You can look at their children.
Yeah. I might have voted for Bernie if I just didn't have to hear him talk. I mean, that voice.
I will do the
millionaires and the billionaires. And he's like, dude, please just clear your throat.
He sounded like a high-pitched Eric with a low voice.
Oh my God!
Somebody's got to make that make that a song about that, Eli.
So let's go through. Let's go through. So I voted for Gus Hall and Angela Davis. Then I don't know in '84 who I voted for, but then in '88 I was a big drink the Kool Aid on Jesse Jackson.
Oh, Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, I worked for Jesse Jackson.
Have you met Jesse?
Yeah, oh yeah, several times. Yeah, I like him. But I really thought we were going to... I didn't think we were going to win the presidency, but I thought we would win some states.
And it would make a statement.
Yeah. And so I remember how exciting it was to think, like, we're going to win states. And when I saw Bernie starting to win lots of states, I was like, holy fuck, he's going to start to think he can be president. And the powers that be are not going to allow that.
That's the big misconception. It's not just the powers that be. It's that people are like, Bernie's got so many people at his rallies. What, you know, how is it possible? They must be rigging these primaries. No, it's just most people who vote do not go to political rallies.
No, I'm a conspiracist. I think the powers that be are not going to allow Trump to be president.
What do you mean powers that be?
The Koch's, the Bloomberg's.
Well, the powers that be will definitely work against him being president. Each election district is different.
I believe if the Koch's got on board with Trump, he could turn around Florida and Pennsylvania.
The Koch brothers.
So they're not.
Wait,
spending $700, $800.
That's because
Adelson in Las Vegas is not.
That's because
money.
He is anathema to their views of the world. Donald Trump is not a conservative. He literally says the opposite of what they believe.
So you understand? Those are the powers that be I'm talking about.
Well, those are the people who pay a lot of money, but that doesn't mean they always win.
They backed Romney. They backed
McCain.
A lot of people backed Obama too,
and he won.
Because
he's badass. Because he's awesome.
Listen, there's two sides of hundreds of millions of dollars being invested in each candidate.
Well, money does not buy elections, and that proves it. The fact that Bernie Sanders did so much with so little money.
Trump hasn't spent much money.
No, he hasn't. You're exactly right. He spent next to nothing.
But I'm saying to go over the top to get 270. You need those hundreds of millions of dollars.
You also got to not alienate half the country with racist, crazy stuff.
He said racist, crazy shit that everybody knows is insane and stupid for fucking 8 months, and he's still only 7 points behind.
Right. That's something about
crazy.
Us. Yeah.
And no, I'm saying that he would be even or winning if all the hundreds of millions of dollars that usually go into Romney or Bush were going into his campaign.
That might be.
Twitter is Eli Braden. The website is elibraden.com, ELIBRADEN, and gumroad.com/Eli Braden.
Gumroad.com/Eli Braden. You can get like a buttload of my Stern Show parodies for $5.
You ever touch the grace of like a virgin?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right,
I can't
remember
what I did with it, but yes.
All right, we're going to get it going.
See you later,
kids.
See you
next time. Bye.
Thanks, Jimmy.
I just flew in from New York. Delta first class sucks. They screwed up my skinny latte at Starbucks. There was such a long line down at the Apple Store. My labradoodle crapped on my mahogany flower. Now my therapist is gone on a week's vacation. It's hard out here for a Caucasian. I got problems. White people problems. White people problems. White people problems. You know I got them. I really got them. They were sold out of arugula at Trader Joe's. I threw out my back in a yoga pose. My six-disc ginger ate my counting crows. On The Bachelor, I can't believe he gave that bitch.
but I don't speak Hispanic. I went off my carbamazepine. I'm starting to feel manic, cause I just can't find a decent fucking Prius mechanic. Guess I'll have to drive the Hummer. It guzzles gas like the Titanic. My white people problems are gigantic.